Blog Talk Radio.
Favorita. What's going on, ma? Robbie Ming, my big sis, Robbie Ming, here to do her thing. She's something like a queen for a king. So what's going down today? Urban Therapy with Sun Show, and we are talking about crying over nothing. Crying over nothing. How do you console somebody, support somebody who's crying over nothing? Well, that somebody might be you, and you just may have a plan to do just that. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 11 a.m. till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday, baby. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We play on the monkey bars and in the sandbox, push each other up the sliding board and on the swings. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see how the universe interjects us into this thing called life. Where did we fit? How does it go? How come the pieces just don't seem symmetric, yo? But I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, Saturday morning, the 18th of September. It's crazy. This month is just about on up out of here. But before it does and before it goes, we got a few more shows. Yes, you know, today we're talking about crying over nothing. How many of y'all, who of y'all has ever cried over nothing? It may have been a long time ago. It may have been recently. It may have been a short time ago. Hey, sometimes your emotions well up in you and you get to thinking about stuff that may not even be going on at that immediate time. And, you know, the next thing you know, the tears are flowing. You can be, the crazy thing about it is you can be in mid-conversation with somebody and y'all talking about something totally unrelated, but something that may have been said in that conversation may have triggered something. It may have sparked something. It may have resonated with you, and it just reminded you of something like, my grandmother, you remind me of my grandmother. No, you don't look like my grandmother. You're a man, but something that you said really stands in my psyche, in my memory, and it makes me where I want to be. You made me remember my nana, my big mama Anna. It makes me feel good. Tears start flowing. I've been thinking about her nut. When I start going, I think about her a lot. Yo, actually, sometimes the tears can start flowing. Somebody may say something that reminds you of somebody that may even still be alive, but maybe you are removed from them, disconnected from them. Maybe you are estranged. Maybe you are estranged from them, you know, and that may be wearing on your heart a little bit. You miss somebody, and you may be thinking about the memories that you had with somebody, you know, a so-called better time in your life. A lot of times we get nostalgic and we go back in our memory banks. We go back in our history and we start thinking about, yeah, man, when these times were here, you know, things were so much better. The innocence was there. We didn't know so much. We didn't go so much. We weren't carrying as much. It was a carefree time. We were able to just really enjoy our lives. And it's not that you didn't have any stress or any worries or any concerns about anything that were going on back then. It's just that you made it through. And at the time, you may have been, you know, searching in the dark, just trying to really find yourself. And as you were on your way finding yourself, you enjoyed the ride. You had some fun. A lot of people go back to their teenage years and they talk about how they missed being a teenager so much, even though that sounds childish. But they may feel that way because they may not have been carrying the same responsibilities back when they were a teenager as they are now. And they may not have had they may have been getting their social lives together. You know, as you're developing your social life, you are finding out what friendships are all about, or maybe the friends that you had when you were younger were just so much more supportive and loyal, and they were just down for you. And now you find it hard. Maybe you find it a little bit harder now to cement relationships or to really believe in the relationships or the friendships that get formed nowadays, because everybody seems to be out for themselves when it wasn't like that before. But even when you were younger, one of the reasons that if you had a strong friendship support system, you may have really needed that, because there were people who were not your friends, were not so accommodating to you and happy for you and supportive of you. So the friends that you did have who supported may have really, really been essential. Hold on. Okay, we good. Levels is good. Yeah, shout out. click off something or cancel something and you don't want to do it. Is that like you don't want to do it? Okay, there we go. All right. So, yeah. Yeah, but when you were for the people who seem to forget other things that were going on when you were a teenager, sometimes people forget about the insecurity that they probably were having when they were teenagers. It wasn't always sweet. You had to go to school. You had to live by parents' rules. You may have had acne, you know, bad skin. You know how bad skin can ruin your teenage life. It doesn't really ruin your teenage life, but clear skin is something that you may have really strived for. And bumpy skin or patchy skin is something you got to deal with. It's something we got to deal with. These are things that happened when you were an adolescent. These are the things that were going on when you were younger. You know, you may have been the type that had to fight a lot. Honestly, some people grew up having to fight a lot. Like, it's not that I'm violent or whatever, but, you know, people be picking on me. And it just so happens that my brother or my mother or my sister or my auntie or my uncle or my friend, they taught me how to fight. They taught me how to rumble. I grew up fighting my big cousins. And they said that I wasn't going to win or ever beat them. And I beat the shit out of all of them, my friend. And I took that all the way to the schoolyard. You try to get crazy with me. We going hard. I'm going to go up in your mouth and you're going to leave me the fuck alone. Yeah, or I'm going to knock you out. But yeah, y'all never hear me glorify the 80s. Even though there were some things about the 80s that I missed so much. One of the things that I missed about the 80s so much is that the people that I loved were still here. And that's one of those things. You know, thinking about the people who have passed on, those who have returned home, those who have died. And you think like, dang, man, we used to have so much fun. We had so many plans for the future, whatever, you know, and then now they're gone. And sometimes just thinking about it, like how much you really cared about that person and how much they meant to you. Sometimes it can bring a couple of tears to your eyes. Bring a couple of tears to your eyes. And they're not always necessarily tears of sadness. Sometimes it can be tears of joy. Like you think about somebody who was really, really influential. And you're like, yo, I didn't. If it wasn't for such and such, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for such and such, I wouldn't know this. If it wasn't for such and such, I would have never made it. If it wasn't for such and such, I wouldn't know how to do this. If it wasn't for such and such, I would have never got this job. I would have never chose this career. I would have never had kids. I would have never. Hey, the list goes on. And at the times when you're thinking about these things with other people, it just may bring on tears for nothing. But was it really for nothing? Was it really for nothing? Or was it something that you just couldn't explain? Ain't the right time. And you got to keep it moving. Everything is going to be okay. Sometimes you cry by yourself. Hey, this is your prerogative. You can do what you want to do. Sometimes the tears start flowing over nothing. But it ain't really about nothing. It's about something. It's just not about anything that's making you sad. About anything that's on your. It's not about anything that's going on in your world right now. That's good. It's not about anything that's going on in your world right now. But remember, we all came from somewhere. We all came from something. So I have some questions that I want to ask y'all today about this whole crying over nothing thing. And I want to see what y'all think about it. First of all, do you think that it's possible to cry over nothing? Because you might honestly believe like there's no such thing as crying over nothing. Or you may honestly believe that there's no such thing as crying over nothing. I don't think that there's anything such as crying over nothing. I think that the tears come from something or somewhere, even if it's your allergy. You're crying over allergies. Look at you. You're crying over some Allegra D, Zyrtec, Claritin. why I crying for? You know. But do y'all, what do y'all think? Do you think that it's possible to be crying over nothing? No. And it's okay if you do. Hold on. Let me get this chat right. I got to pop out the chat. There you go. I mean, I got to get the chat to where I can see it. Oh, shit. I lost the chat. Okay. Bring the chat. The chat went scat. Come back, chat. Come back, chatty. Come back. Okay, there we go. Move the chat to where is I can see the chat. I'm about to start crying over allergies. Get my Snoopy cry on. So what are we talking about? Okay. Oh, Emily had to go. Okay. Okay. All right. One of my niece's funeral is today. Well, you know, my condolences to you and yours, first and foremost. And second of all, there will be some crying, and none of it will be over nothing. That's for sure. But honestly, shout outs to Emily Dunlap and your family. Sorry about that. No. It's really sad when a young person dies or precedes their parents in death. It's one of the hardest things to deal with in life. But it happens. It happens. Okay. Yeah. Do y'all think that there's a such thing as crying over nothing? Do you? Because I've heard people say it. I mean, you be crying over nothing. Like, man, you don't live inside that person's head. You don't know what they're going through. There's so many times when people put on a good face. People can put on a good face because they really don't feel like it's appropriate or the right time to shed tears or to show their emotions. Some people are deathly afraid of showing their emotions. Some people are deathly afraid of showing their emotions. They're like, nah, man, I ain't. I'm going to be poker-faced across the board. I ain't showing nothing. I ain't doing nothing. I ain't showing nothing. And I don't know. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think not being able to cry is a favorable position. Have you ever known somebody like that, that you have never seen cry and who you never think would? You have to kind of think about where a person like that is coming from. What have they been through to the point where they have decided that they will not shed a tear? So I've seen those people in funerals. I've seen those people in a variety of situations. And, yeah, they don't cry. Physical pain. What do y'all think about physical pain? Are you the type of person that cries over physical pain? I'm not. And only because I don't think that crying over physical pain works. I might do it if I thought it would work. But I'm like, yo, whether I cry or not, this joint still hurt. Shout out to people who cry over physical pain, though. It ain't all just scraped knees and messed up elbows. Make sure that y'all hit the like button, man. Hit that like button. And make sure that y'all share the show. And make sure that you subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, it is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you very much for coming on through. Carol Chamberlain says, sending, okay, wait. I cried when my dog died. I don't think that's over nothing. That is definitely not over nothing. Yo, when my cat Lovey died, I cried like a baby. Listen, man, I ain't even going to hold you. First of all, if I take an animal in, I like an animal. I love an animal. So then the animal's right here. Y'all can't see the animal. Hey, animal. By my side, animales. How you know I was talking to you? Oh, yeah, you come. All right. Thank you. Yes, I appreciate the love. Yes, I do. Don't start showing off. All right. No, I can't pet you right now. It's all good. You don't have to look at me that way. Okay, here you go. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are the best. Yes, I do love you. Yes, I will shed tears if something happened to you. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want you to get sick. Yes, you are a good cat. Yes, you will get treats later. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ow. You're a little too excited. Thank you. Why don't you just lay down? Yeah, lay. Yeah, that's cool. Laying is nice. It's nice to lay. So, but yeah. You know what I mean? 2015, when Lovey died, I had to take her to the vet because she couldn't breathe. She was having breathing problems. I was seeing her labor to breathe. I don't know about y'all, but seeing somebody, first of all, it's cool. Yeah. I would have preferred that you waited, but I understand. Ow. That pinky nail. Watch it. Okay, that's better. Okay. So, she was laboring to breathe. And you know how bad it is when you can't breathe. You know how bad it is when you can't breathe. So when you see somebody else that's struggling to breathe, that shit can pull at your heartstrings. And because you know there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it. And that's the most disheartening part about it. That's the part that hurts your feelings the most. Like, you want to help so bad and you can't. So I took her to the vet, and the vet was like, Mr. McIntyre, you know this cat is 19 years old, and we can do some shit, but I don't really think it's going to work. You might just have to let it go. What the fuck you talking about? That's like somebody you love being placed on child support, life support, and you like, well, you saying that they only have 20% brain activity, but doesn't God decide how much your brain is working? You know, getting to that type shit. I'm like, but Lovey is alive. She laboring to breathe a little bit, but, you know, can't y'all give her like a kitty cat shot of albuterol or, you know, give her a little kitty cat ventilator. Give her the oxygen. You know, had a little thing going in her nose. Don't do my kitty like that. I had to leave her there, man. That was rough. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cal, I can relate. Cry like a baby. I really did. You know, TK Wright says, I used to be poker face. I held a lot in. I was the person at funerals who didn't cry until my first hero passed away. Yeah. Heroes. Funerals they bring the tears out of people. But you know it'd be plenty of tears before that funeral ever come up. You know how last night we was talking about getting bad news over the phone? You know when you get the word of somebody's passing over the phone, you know, that shit can just bring all the emotions out of you. Like, oh, you just, well, such and such didn't make it, or such and such just passed, or, ow, man. Listen, you don't understand. Like, I get it. You get excited. You don't understand how you, you got to listen first. You don't understand how your excitability is affecting me. Like, that shit hurt. So, yeah, when you get that phone call about somebody's passing, and, you know, that shit, you might be good over the phone, like, oh, man, really? Hang up that phone. It's like, why, Lord? Say your prayers or whatever. Try to pray them into heaven or whatever. You know how it goes. But that's definitely not crying over nothing. But later on, after the funeral is done, the burial is done, or do you have the ashes in the urn or whatever, you know, it could be months later, it could be a year later, it could be years later, you know, you see something that reminds you of them. A song. Oh, shit. How many of y'all have a song that brings the crying over nothing out of you? Come on now. How many of y'all have a song that comes on that brings the crying over nothing up out of you? Like, yo, I mean, such and such, we used to run this song all the time. We used to play the tape. We used to play this tape in the Alpine stereo, you know, in the red Dodge LeBaron back in the day, man. He used to play this shit over. He used to get so tired of me asking me to play this shit. I used to play it over and over and over. You know what I'm saying? Sit like that. Next thing you know, you crying over nothing. I had a friend who, in college, we'd be sitting around drinking and having a good time, busting it up with each other, kicking it with the chicks. And this motherfucker would just be sitting in the corner, and the next thing you know, the tears just start streaming. Be like, yo, man, what? Yo, Walt, what's going on? Walt be like, man, everything cool, oh, it's just, you know, I was just thinking about my man, you know what I'm saying, you know, back at the crib or whatever. You know. He was always talking about cats that he came up with who died or whatever. So he was real thankful just to be in college and be trying to get his life together. But he had problems. This was a type college kid that used to get locked up all the time. It was wild. Let me see. Robbie Ming says, my mother never dropped tears, but she cried on the inside. That's heavy. That's heavy. TK Wright says, that's not nothing. I've lost two cats during the pandemic. We cried. Damn. Carol says, I agree, Taki. They become part of your life. Ain't no doubt about it. All scratches aside. Carol Chamberlain says, I never saw my dad cry. I guess that's a man thing. I don't know. Yeah, just because you never saw him cry doesn't mean he didn't cry. It does not mean that. Men pick their spots. You know, especially, you don't know what a man does when he's in the car all by himself. I'm going to leave it at that. You don't know what a man does when he's in a car all by himself. He can find a place out in the park. He can find a parking lot. He can find himself on the road, whatever. Men can find themselves a safe space. They drive. He don't have to show his emotions around everybody else. But you can best believe He got a, he could have had a spot where he could handle his emotional business. He could have gotten it all out before y'all ever saw him that day. You know, he come home from work like, yeah, you think, all right, you ain't know he was up Lemon Hill, you know what I mean, for an hour and a half just crying and praying and getting himself together. Hey, shit can be therapeutic. Anybody who would see him up there would have thought he was crying over, well, they would have known that he was crying over something, but, you know, not knowing where he came, where the tears were coming from, the where the emotions were set at home, could make it seem like he was crying over nothing. Nah, it's definitely over something. It's absolutely 100% without a doubt over something. Yeah. Okay. TK Wright says, Robin, my kids used to say that about me, but it wasn't true. I cried when I cried when no one was around. A lot of mothers don't cry in front of their kids. They figure, I'm already a single mother or whatever. I gotta hold this shit together. Shit. With the struggle that some women go through with single motherhood, I don't see why y'all don't cry all the goddamn time. Even though somebody's going to come by and say, you ain't reinvent the wheel on single motherhood. All women out here, you know, got that struggle. What you crying for? Get your shit together. Let's go to the clock bar and have some, all right, crab legs on me. I mean, I got you. Dungeness. Shit like that. Carol Chamberlain says, TK Wright says, my cat had respiratory infections during COVID and passed away. That's some shit. Think the cat had COVID? Robbie Mink says, when my grandmother died, I saw my uncles crying. I always thought men didn't cry until I seen them crying. Wow. And that's a funny thing, man. You know, as men, we feel like we have to put up this macho persona. We have to remain strong. The thing is, there's nothing weak about crying. But sometimes it takes us, our therapist, to show us that. You got some men out here that not only won't cry, but find it hard to even embrace another man. Like, there are men out here who won't hug. It seems crazy nowadays because men hug. But it wasn't always like that. If y'all would like to call into the show, I invite y'all to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. I said 319-527-6199. Get on the line. 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, tax and chill. And my brother, Ansel Jones, Baltimore girl, can't leave him alone. Yeah. What's going on, y'all? Thanks for coming on through. We talking about crying over nothing. What y'all know? You know. All right. So let me see. All right. Cal Chamberlain says, I cry when I'm alone too. Yeah, but you make other people cry when they're around other people. That's wrong. But we're not getting into that today. I don't want to be accusatory. Anyway, he says, it's like a punch in the chest that takes your breath away. Robin Mink says, I am to the point that I didn't want to answer my phone. It seemed like it's always bad news. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I understand. TK writes that Stevie Wonder's two-part Superwoman song gets me. Interesting. Carol says, Sadie makes me cry every time. My aunt's name, and I always love my mama. I was just hanging out. Me, Sunny Bird, and Lil Sunny. Shout out to the Intruders. I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. I'll always love my mama. She brought me in this world. Ooh, talking about mama. One of the best songs ever recorded. And that's whether or not it's Mother's Day. But that shit, that song, it's a lot. The song is deeper than the lyrics really say it is. Because, you know, one of the things I really liked about songs and singers back in the day is they would take a little interlude to just talk during the song. They would just rap. And, you know, when he was saying, he was like, yo, what was Pops doing? He's like, oh, Pops, you know, we ain't talking about Pops right now. You know, Pops was probably drinking more wine than us. You know what I'm saying? Like, little things, you catch little things in a song. Like, it ain't no, you know, they kind of just laughed off, you know, not having a dad in their life, you know, for the song. They took a time within a 5 or 6 minute song to, you know, highlight, well, we talking about my mom right now. We talking about our moms right now. We talking about the one who was there, not the one that was necessarily just, yeah. And what was I'll Always Love My Mama recorded? Was it in the 70s? Early 70s? Let me see. Ooh, talking about mama. Okay. Let me see. Hold on. When was the song I Will Always Love My Mama by the Intruders recorded? The fuck? Okay. When was the song I Will Always Love My Mama by the Intruders recorded?
Here's what I found.
1973. Now, you know, in 1973, there was a lot of gang warring going on. You know, coming up out of the 60s, sort of fresh, a whole lot of social unrest. The Vietnam War was still going on. That didn't end till 1975 when we pulled out, and we didn't win the war. Sort of like what they're talking about with Afghanistan now. Well, with Vietnam, at least you had an actual country that you were fighting. With Afghanistan, you weren't fighting Afghanistan. You were fighting terrorism. How were you going to win? But anyway, 1973. So people be acting like all this single motherhood shit was just going on. These cats wasn't babies. They was already like probably in their 20s or whatever. So, look, the name of the album was Save the Children. These cats all got their shirt off. So, I guess they A&R was like, man, fuck that. Take all your shirt off, you know what I mean? And then we can make some new mamas. I don't know. Okay. Let me see. Crying over nothing. That's what we're talking about today, y'all. Even though we're finding something that we're crying over. Well, I was asking the question about, is there really a such thing as crying over nothing? And now, you know, y'all can answer that question if you choose to. Is there a such thing as crying over nothing? Crying over nothing. Yo, the tears ain't coming from nowhere. I'm crying over nothing. I've been crying over nothing for the past half hour. Can't stop. Tears coming down like a shower. And yo, they're making everything wet. And everybody is starting to really get on my damn nerves. Ask me why am I crying. I'm telling them that it's over nothing, but I'm lying. And I really want to get my shit together, but I can't, because my memories is telling me that I need to get something resolved. And these problems that I'm secretly going through, nobody really can solve. But everything is going to be all right one way or another. I'm talking to y'all for my sisters and brothers. This is a therapeutic situation that we're going through, and all the nations can relate to. I know that it's going to be all right one day, but not today. Hey, I just got to get these tears out, and everything is going to be all right. Check it out. Word. If you got to cry in front of others, don't let nobody make you feel down. You was already going through something, my brother, and everything is going to be all right. I'll be around. I'm going to come through, and I'm going to help you, even if I have to get professional help, too. Got your back, nigga. Yo, go ahead. Get your little tears off. What's going on, my Mau? Mau Lisa Temple 1. Mau Lisa Temple. That's my girl right there. Lisa Mau. Lisa Mau. Ow, Lisa. Mau Lisa. I want to be with Lisa. You know what I mean? Zamunda. I want to be with Lisa. I want to be with Lisa. Okay. All right. What we got? Robbie Mink says crying is an emotion. Okay. Cal Shima says, yes, it was. Oh, makes me miss her so much more, though. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's on Sadie. Sadie, that's just, yo, do yourselves a favor. Matter of fact, hold on. I got something for y'all. Watch Sadie live by the Spinners. Because the way they killed this fucking song, they just kill it. I don't know what show they was on, but they sing the song live. And they just murder it. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to... No, I want to say... I want to share it. I'm going to put this link in the... hold on, let me see if I can. They're going to try to make me play it. I ain't going to do it. Stop. All right. Now I can share it. If there's a heaven up above, I know she's teaching niggas how to love. Say it. But yeah, if y'all haven't ever seen this video, yo, I mean, the shit blows me away. They just killed this damn song. So let me put this joint in the comments. Oh, with my I gotta hold on. I gotta I gotta X out some things. I got too many windows open. Hold on. I be having the nerve to wonder how come my computer not going as fast? I be pushing that shit to the max. All I know is if you tell me you got 16 gigs of RAM, I'm gonna make you show improved. That's all I know. That's all I know. Okay, there we go. All right. Let me see. Yeah, man. Copy that link and watch that Sadie video. That shit. Yo, I'm telling you. Now, the video is low quality because it was back in 1976. So the audio is, you won't have to turn it up. But, yo. They murder that song. Murder it. Murder. But yeah, I mean, this, man, some songs you just, they might trigger a memory, a memory and shit. It might not even be a slow song. Like, we talking about I Always Love My Mama and Sadie and songs like that. Shit, it might be a fast song that just remind you, somebody, whatever. Like, yeah, when we used to go skating, when we used to be at skating, that's how people in Philly talk. We was at skating, and this is what we used to do to backwards skate to. No, not roll, bounce, skate. I'm talking, it could have been Eric B. and Rakim, dance to the rhythm, to the record blow, and let it go. It's a four-letter word, throw the body to dance. You got it, so guys, alert. When there's a play in, it can't be stuck with it. It'll come up with it. The rhyme goes, blessed with the record that was made a long time ago. You can do it. You can dance and dance your hands to it. I start to sing. And then I sent it to the paper. Soul. You got it. You got something happened to your friend, but you remember when y'all used to be at skating. And they would play, You Got Soul, and that was your friend's best favorite song, and that's when they would show their ass on the skates. You got soul. Why? It's a good thing they didn't play. That's my good thing they didn't play my melody. All right. Carol Chamber says, "Yep, I have the CD." I'm just saying, check out that performance. That thing crazy. It's crazy. Had you crying over nothing. Okay. And my mom passed 10 years or so before they recorded the song. Okay. Carol says, sometimes I can drop something and cry, but it's always something else that I'm really crying over. It just brings it to the forefront. And that's what I'm talking about. You're not really crying over nothing. You're crying over something. It's just not the something that's going on right here and now. As long as you are alive and breathing and have memories, everything that happened before is right now because it's still with you. And that's not to say that you haven't reconciled things. It's not to say that you're still in the same place that you were before. It just means that whatever happened to you or with you or around you, it's a part of you. It's still there. It's not always about not getting over something, not getting past it, something. You know what I mean? It's not always about that. Oh, what's this? Oh, shit. Wait a minute now. Oh. Huh. I thought... Well, she'll let me know. Well, well, well. What have we here? Lisa Mau has come on through. How are you? Hold on, I gotta turn you up. I'm feeling like a real man should. Wait a minute, I gotta find a way for you to be a little louder. Hold on. I got this for me. I got to make sure that my people can hear what you're talking about. Let me see.
Herring.
Let's see. Would that do it? Or is it a different one? Okay, there we go. Wait a minute. I think we're about to get this thing.
Connected.
Okay. Okay. There we go. That should do it. Let's see. Wait a minute. I'm getting some spinning going on over here. Hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Uh-oh. We lost Lisa, but we're going to get her back. Okay. All right, well, Lisa comes back. We'll see what that's hitting for. We'll see what that's hitting for. In the meantime, in between time, in between time, cleansing for the soul. What's going on? And Takizori, thanks for coming on through. Good to see me, some of you. You know how we are and how we do. Okay, so let me see. Let me see what we were talking about. Crying over nothing. That's what we're talking about, ultimately. Crying over nothing. Is there a such thing? Do you believe that nobody cries over nothing? Over nothing. Carol Chamberlain says, yes, they do. I saw them perform it live. Cried like a baby during the show. She was crazy. Okay, let me see. Let me see, Lisa. Let me see if I can get you back. Okay. Yay. All right, it's a little bit better. I got to turn you up all the way. Let me see. Oh, nah. It was supposed to pair. I don't see where it did. Oh boy. Yo, Instagram is not doing what I needed to do right now. I don't know. Okay. Okay, there we go. There we go. All right. All right, what you got?
All right, so you're talking about crying over nothing, right?
Right. Is there such thing?
Remember when they said you should be crying and there ain't nothing to come?
Uh-huh.
So how about, right, we the sensual energy. Crying is a part of our frequency. It's how communicated water that comes out. Water has a frequency. So tears that were released has a frequency. It's the energy that needs to be released. It's not always about happy and sad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When we cry, sometimes it's just releasing energy that we haven't been taught to deal with. Who teaches you how to deal with disappointment when you're an adult? Who teaches you how to deal with loss? Who teaches you how to deal with not meeting your own standards, let alone somebody else? You see what I'm saying? So
I do.
Sometimes probably nothing wrong because we remembering. Or we analyzing, or we reasoning with self. You know what I'm saying? We reasoning, and it brings us to tears because we know we shouldn't be here. Half of us done did enough dumb shit on our own, let alone all the other pressures of society and all the societal that we be tired of ourselves.
Right.
You start becoming hormonal and you eating this GMO food that got all these hormones in it, got the natural hormones going crazy. So, I mean, crying, I'm surprised we not all walking around crying. My father used to say all the time, here goes some tissues for your issues.
Heavy.
And with that, I get...
Well, let me ask you this. So you saying this GMO, this processed food, can have us crying over nothing? We crying over poor health?
Nothing. What? You better tell me.
We out here crying over poor health.
I'm sitting here drinking green tea. You see what I'm saying? We trying to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there makes
me
cry.
That's true. That's true. It's the struggle is absolutely 100. You know what I'm saying? It lives in all of us. But let me...
Think about it, right? Everything can seem like it's set up against you. And you feel like you all alone. Most of us have never had to really sit alone. And even when they do, they don't know how to stick with their own thoughts. They don't know how to journey within. They don't know anything about what's going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
So with the of this poor diet and the pressure of the system and the pressure of your own desires and expectations and the depression and the pressure of everybody else's, you know what I'm saying? And if you got people depending on you, that's a lot of weight. If you don't cry, crack, or bend, I'm wondering what you made of.
Mm.
And can I get some? Because menopause be having me buckling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Menopause be having me leaking. Like somebody that stabbed me in my eyes. You know what I'm saying?
It might have you leaking and in a cold ass room. You know what I'm saying? Hot flashes. It is freezing.
Right now. What's going on?
Look. 6 out of 10 men got kicked out of the crib because of inappropriate behavior. And 9 out of 10 men left the crib because it was too goddamn cold in the house. Dealing with a menopausal woman, boy, this middle age shit is a killer. They ain't ready to have that conversation.
Oh, let me tell you.
It's real shit.
It's the aftermath for me, because it's only a pause. It's only a pause. It ain't, they do not, it ain't, it's called menopause. You get the pause for a minute. You know what I'm saying? And then live out the rest of that.
Okay.
But I just wanted to tap in on that crossover over nothing, because it don't be nothing. It's a whole lot of something. A lot of it is childhood trauma locked inside the body and mind.
Real shit. Let me just ask you one question before you go. Do you think we as a people put undue pressure on ourselves to not cry or not express our emotions? Do you think that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt, I am a mother of seven, and I have heard, don't be crying in public, and I have said, don't be crying in public. Don't let nobody see your face. Don't let nobody see your cry. Don't let nobody. Why? Why? It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural. It's natural. You
really?
Know what I'm saying? If you get punched in the nose, your eyes start to water. If you hit
no way around it.
The right way, your eyes start to water. Period.
Mm-hmm. No way around it. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm not ashamed of my tears at all. Hell, I was crying last night in front of somebody and started laughing right after. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm in my thing, doctor. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes you got to, well, crying is like a cleansing thing. And sometimes you gotta clear it out. You got to clean it out. You know, get that negativity out of the way. It may be negativity. It may not always be a negative thing. Like we was talking about earlier in the show, sometimes, you know, something may trigger a really good memory in you and it just bring that shit up out of you. You don't even know where it came from. You know what I'm saying? You might remember.
You know, joy has its own tears.
Oh boy, do it.
When I see children laughing and dancing, it brings me to tears. When I see elders being revered, it brings me to tears. When I see people supporting each other, it brings me to tears. That's a joy. I done cried over enough sad stuff. So the next is my joy filled. We can't do that. You know what I mean? We always worried about somebody speaking. We beat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if you think I'm weak, try my fucking neck. How about that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Try my neck. Because don't let these tears get you bad.
Yeah. that's real. Crying definitely does not mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're weak. Emotionally, it doesn't mean that you're weak in spirit. It doesn't mean that you're weak physically. It doesn't mean weakness at all. As a matter of fact, in many situations, it takes a lot of strength to be able to show that emotion. Because you can be just by the act of crying, you can set an example, an example of how to be free to so many people that you may not even be talking to, dealing with, or may not even know. You know, somebody out there might be saying, well, if such and such can cry, then shit, maybe I can let go too. They may have been holding too much stuff in that was getting too heavy for them.
What? I don't have my glasses on. Taki Zori?
Yeah.
I agree. So, a lot of the students we deal with are never taught, you know, how to deal with their emotions. And at home, they had no place, you know, to grow and to share. Crying is liberating. It's a part of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you really don't care. People always talking about like, if you really don't care, and that includes the tears, the fears, the joy, all of it. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. Because, I mean, you know, the stresses, the heartache, the pain, all that stuff, it weighs you down, and not in a good way. And sometimes you can kind of look at it as like crying after a long period of not being able to cry for whatever reason can be like a Noah's Ark flood of washing away all of that bullshit, all of that negativity, all of the bad stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, your cheeks might be the drainage system. It might be the sewer. Good break.
It's part of it. I mean, I can pull up one period of time where I'm just trying to cry because I used to put on the hard to get to the next stage from the mentality that I was going to say to me that was the door that was coming to the world. I had no book in no space to cry. You know, but then I realize it wasn't about having the wrong in the speech. It was about making the wrong in the speech and allowing so you know how I can fit. Like who told me I had to hold on the innocent part.
Yeah.
So now I understand people like that. When it comes to things like being able to express yourself. Feeling
overwhelmed,
feeling
overjoyed. This
is
an overflowing out of me that happens. Mm-hmm.
It needs to be ashamed of. As a matter of fact, you
should be proud of. Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot. It can be liberating. The same way as not being able to cry can be very restrictive. It can be very... It can be like incarceration. And I mean, think about it. Brothers in jail, a lot of brothers in jail are unable to cry for whatever reason, but because they have to put up that persona. But I'm sure there's not one of them who doesn't want to cry on a regular basis. Who want to live in a situation like that? Wait, hold on. You're breaking up. You're breaking up and buffering a lot. And I know that what you have to say is some real good stuff. So, you know what? This is what I want you to do. This will be better. Can you call in to the show? 319-527-6199. That way we can get all of your voice. Let me see. 319. I'm gonna put the number in the comments. Yeah, I'm gonna put the number in the comments. And call in. I want to make sure everybody gets this lesson. There you go. So yeah, hop on the line on Blog Talk, and we can get this thing going the right way. I don't want nobody to miss that. Let me see. The thing is, okay. So she's going to call in, so we can hear better. That should work for us. All right, yeah, y'all. We talking about this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Welcome to everybody that's coming through. We're talking about crying over nothing on this Saturday, September 18th. Crying over nothing, is there such thing? I said crying over nothing, is there a such thing? Ansel Jones says DHL, FedEx, UPS are the companies we used to send cargo to. So when I see the truck almost 20 years ago, I still think about it. War is hell. Yes, it is. He says, it still mess with me when I think about the relationship with people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real shit. He said, it's crazy when you see people and we talk like it was yesterday, 20 years ago. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, says, fighting to stay alive does make one cry. When you know that the unknowns are against you. Wow. Well, let's see. Okay. But yeah, man, you know, so-called crying over nothing, real time crying over nothing. It's a tough situation. It really is, especially when you around people who don't understand, or who don't want to understand. Sometimes people who are trying to bring out your strength or exploit your strength can sometimes be the people who make you the weakest. They can sometimes be the people who really are getting in the way more than anybody else, because they may not be the ones who are allowing you to get to a place where you can finally get comfortable, if you know what I mean. You know, they may not be allowing you, not on purpose, not even on purpose, but they may not be allowing you to free yourself, to get to a comfortable place, to get to a happier place in your world, in your life. You know, because sometimes we are so busy protecting our loved ones, telling them, you know, don't let nobody see you weak, or see the chinks in the armor and all of that. They don't know that they may be the ones keeping you from being able to gain strength. They might be the ones. Let me be the one you give your love to, the one you need, baby. So, well, now wait a minute. We may be getting Lisa back on the line. Let me see if she's set up and ready to go here.
Peace. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. That's what we needed right there. That's what we needed. Now we ain't gonna miss nothing.
Hey, listen, we don't miss nothing no way. We stay sharp.
Without a doubt. But they just have to be able to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know that it's being spoken.
Indeed.
But we just have to make sure that it's being communicated, it's being heard. Well, I ain't want them to miss
Indeed.
None of that.
But I don't know where we left, but all I'm saying is that, you know, we live in a system that's set up to make us cry and then tell us not to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to punch you in your face, but you better not cry. It's like when our parents used to give us a whooping and be like, shut up, why are you crying? I'm going to give you something to really cry for. I'm like, wait a minute, you already did. That's what
I know, right?
All the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm thinking that we really have to be careful when we do things like that. You know, even though we laugh about a lot of the restrictive things and the pains that we grew up having to get used to, especially our people, you know, the whole, you know, stop crying or I'm going to give you something to cry over or cry about. Yeah, we laugh about that kind of shit. But when you really think about it, many of us were really, really negatively affected by that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it was telling us that, okay, we can get emotional on one side, but we can't get but so emotional. It's a restriction. And although our parents may have meant well by what they were doing, or they were punishing us for something bad or wrong that we have done, we always have to be cognizant of which direction that we are sending our people into. You know, we can't drop the ball when it comes to us, because we're as strong as our people are physically and spiritually, we are weakened in so many corners. All right, if you put us in a square, you will probably see really, you would probably, if you could put that square on a wall, you would probably only have two screws in it that were holding it up. The other two are empty, and it's just floating. And I'm saying that metaphorically to explain how disproportionately damaged our people are. We're all damaged in many ways, but some of us are so good at being able to hold up, and others of us, man, we've been broken down so far that we're just floating on the wall, hoping that the two screws that may not be all of that strong are going to hold us up. You know what I mean? It's a crazy situation, but we have to allow each other to speak. We have to allow each other to be able to express ourselves, and we gotta be. If we're going to allow ourselves to laugh, we got to allow ourselves to cry. We have to. Shoot. I know that we know that everything ain't funny. Well, we have to acknowledge that some things are if we acknowledge that not all things are funny, but we'll allow ourselves to laugh, well, we have to allow ourselves to cry too, even though everything ain't super sad. You know, we got to balance it out a little bit.
Well, I mean, another thing, if I may, that we need to remember is that everybody doesn't have the same period of time to do a thing. For example, let's take grieving. Some people can grieve for a few minutes and then they're done. Some people grieve for days, for years, for hours, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. I mean, we are all different. And, I mean, it really has a lot to do with how we were taught to deal with our emotions as a child and how we saw other people. See, it's not always about what was actually directly taught to us. It was what we saw, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we saw mom take a lick to the face and she handled it like a G, and then you get a lick to the face and you bawling and crying, that makes you feel weak, even though nobody told you, not realizing that the actual action was wrong, not her response to it. You see what
I'm saying?
A lot of times we judging people on their responses, not acknowledging the damage of the action itself. I mean, we have a lot of trauma in our DNA that has never been addressed. Period.
True shit.
Dr. Joyce DeGruy said that after slavery, quote unquote, if you follow that narrative, nowhere ever was there some place that said, well, all you folks that was over here in slavery, here goes some therapy for you, because I know you systematically fucked up because you done watched all the madness.
All of it.
You understand what I'm saying? We had that in our DNA, some of us. You know, and even if it's not in our DNA by blood, it's in our DNA by programming, because these are the images that are shown to us over and over and over and over again. And we just ask to swallow it down, swallow it down, swallow it down. Well, guess what? Pressure bust pipes, period.
Yeah. Those are actual facts. Ain't no way around it either. We started off talking about crying over nothing. There is no nothing to cry about. There's always something. But it can be your personal something. It belongs to you. Everybody doesn't have to, your tears don't have to be approved. They're yours. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to validate them shit. You don't have to get them stamped. They're yours. You use all as many as you need. Save the rest for when you need them again. But all of that looking down on people, looking down on each other, our people looking down on each other, or making unfair judgments of each other because we're quote unquote crying over nothing is not helping us. It's just not going. serve to give a, get us anywhere where we need to be. But, yeah, when you were talking about the tears of joy thing, yeah, I really felt that. There can be times when you really are just feeling a sense of euphoria or a sense of, you know, accomplishment. When you realize that you are much freer than you had been before, why wouldn't you be joyful, tearfully joyful over that? I mean, you made it through. Yeah, that was the intended goal.
Mm-hmm. You know, tears of gratitude, brother. I'm sorry I cut you off there, but I got so excited. Tears of gratitude. You know, tears of gratitude are a real thing. Like I said, some of us know we're not supposed to be here. Some of us have died and come back. You know, we are. When you see our tears, you see tears of joy that we're happy to be here. We're happy to have an opportunity to see another day. That right there should make you cry tears of joy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I gotta ask you one more question before we get on up out of here. And I want you to think about it for a minute. When our children they graduate from high school, there's normally a lot of family tears going on. Are we crying because of what they have accomplished so far, or are we crying for what we know they're going to encounter going forward? What would you guess?
Well, because I'm a mom and I've seen several graduations of high school and college, I'll say that there's a combination. Because I think for those, especially single mothers, I think we understand a little bit more that our children sometimes are not always aware of just having good grades and being a good person does not guarantee you're going to have an easy cakewalk life. And many times they're taught that in high school, and that's why I was an advocate and still am an advocate of homeschool, you know, unschool or whatever else you want to call it, or addition to traditional school, because they do need to understand. And I think it is a combination of, you know, look at how far they've come, but they have no idea what's waiting out there. And it's our duty and responsibility to give our children a secure and strong base, a wonderful foundation, something to reflect upon when they go out into the world, because they have to know. They're not blind. Mm-hmm. They see a struggle. They know, but they really don't know until they get there. They really don't. So I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so, because, you know, after you get out of high school, all the responsibility starts to fall on you. You ain't going to do nothing but work and build for the rest of your life. I'm not saying that playtime is totally over, but the accountability for how you play and work is absolutely on you now. You know, so.
But let me ask you, can I ask you a question, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Accountability to who? I mean, who determines, who has determined how much accountability falls on each person, or how much responsibility falls on each person? Is it always equal?
Mm-mm. No, not at all. Okay. When I was graduating high school, particularly when I turned 18, all right, so I was on my way to college, and in order to get grants and loans to go to college, I had to register for Selective Service. So, in order to go to college, I had to register to go get killed overseas, should they need me and call on me. You understand what I'm saying? So,
right.
So, on one front. I'm being financed to go in the direction that I want to go into. But on the other side, I'm being contracted
to sign off an agreement to stop doing what I want to do what you have paid me to do. And not just join, but I had to go, you know, in a time of war in which they needed me through the draft. So also at 18, if you commit a crime, you can no longer be tried as a juvenile. So, you know, whereas you might have just gotten into a after school fight, because many 18-year-olds are still in school. You go ahead and break somebody's jaw after school because they touched your girl butt in the hallways or something like that. Next thing you know, instead of it just being, you know, a suspension for fighting in school, it could escalate into a full-blown, a simple assault case. Now you're looking at a felony. You know, you understand what I mean? So,
absolutely.
So the system is set up for you to carry a certain responsibility that would have been written off as a rite of passage or just a form of innocence. You know, just boys being boys or girls being whatever you want to call it. Now the stakes are much higher, and we have to make sure that our children understand that. And as children that turned 18 at the time, we had to understand that. Like, it's a little bit more serious now. Yeah, we still get to go to school for 4 years and have our fun and party and do all whatever college kids do, but the stakes are higher. And after you finish that school, you're going to work for the rest of your life. Whether you choose a 9-to-5 or whether you take the entrepreneurial route, your very survival and the survival of your offspring is going to be determined by how you accept the responsibility that you have been given to. I mean, have been given. So, you know, I was more so coming from that angle. You're not saying that you owe right. anybody, but right. just because you don't owe anybody doesn't mean that you don't have to pay. You know, we pay anyway. You know, it's great.
And you know, let me just add on and say, you know, first and foremost, you know, you had a unique situation that was not just unique to you, but to many of the young people that come out of high school and can't afford to go to college, and that's their, you know, desire. But what I'll say is this. Everything you said, and the title of this show, Are You Crying for Nothing? No, you crying for something, because you are a perfect example. You just wanted to go to school, but in order to go to school, you had to sign on. And that meant that now, anytime the pressure comes and they need you, you got to go. That in itself is a reason to cry. You, mm-hmm. Your neck was on the line all the time.
That's right.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I really appreciate you allowing me to share in with you today and the audience. I thank everyone for listening to my mouth. But I definitely had to jump on for this one because I know sometimes we crying and nothing even wrong.
Listen, I appreciate you coming through in bunches. And, man, just because nothing may not be wrong right now, Something has definitely been wrong before. And if it was wrong before, and it's still in your memory, you still got that. You know, we survived. We survived many, many, many wars, many battles, many fights in our existence. Let me put it that way. And there will be many more. And we will receive scars from each and every one of those fights. You know what I'm saying? They won't be fatal wounds because we're still here. But each one of those scars that we receive will have its own story to tell. So I want to thank you for coming through, and I hope to hear from you again. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's been about 3-4 years.
Thank
you know?
So much, brother.
No doubt.
Well, I'm always watching, and I check you every day. I just don't always get the opportunity to see it too. So thank you.
I appreciate you.
All right, brother. All right. I appreciate you, too. Peace.
All right. Peace. That's what I'm talking about. All right, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious September 18th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Nikita White. No, I'm sorry, Nikita White. Happy birthday to you. And check this out. GG Nana Sunny Boy Jabril Davis. GG Nana Sunny Boy Jabril Davis. That's a girl. Happy birthday to you. And Lakeisha Johnson turning 45 years. Bow, 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 bow. 45 years old today. And Clara eBay turning 36 years old today. And Denise Meehan turning 42 years old today, and Tashauna Solomon turning 49 years old today, and West Knox Sasha turning 41 years old today, and my man Alfred Duckworth turning, yeah, all right. Anyway, and Christina Serrano turning 41 years old today. I got a feeling that these two are the same. And my girl Pamela K. Oates, Pamela, Miss Pam. Happy birthday to you. And also, last but not least, Sardik Akien, turning 27 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious September 18th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide. You know what? I need to give a posthumous birthday shout out to my next door neighbor of many years growing up on the block, Shari Haskins. Her birthday was on September 18th. She passed in 2005. Man, I really, really miss her. She was great. She really was. Happy heavenly birthday to you, Shari. Like I said, good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, crying over nothing, you're crying over something. Crying over nothing, you're crying over something. Crying over nothing, you're crying over something. Yo, you will get over it, past it, and with it. Everything is going to be yours. Don't split it. Make sure that you take your time, and if you got to cry, yo, that shit ain't no crime. Is it a crime that I am crying over you? Well, if you didn't affect my life in no way, then I don't think that I would be talking about you. But I am, and it's going to be okay. I got a lot of memories in my head today, and it all comes from what I did before. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're still here for sure. I want y'all to have a great, not a medium, but a great Saturday. You know what I mean? Go out and have some fun today. You know, it's one of these last days before the Indian summer starts to kick in. You know, summer is over in a few days. It's the 18th, baby. So summer is either over in 2 days or 3 days, one of those. And we're going into the autumn. We're going into the fall. It's time to break out those space heaters. Oh. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all back to life. We will be back tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Yes, we will. Yes. So for my blog talkers, I get on back a piece.